Welcome to Outbound Labs by Predictable Revenue, where we share the results of our prospecting experiments, what we learned along the way, and what it means for your team. Hey everybody, I'm Colin and this is Lavinia, and we're part of the Outbound Labs team here at Predictable Revenue. So today we are talking email hygiene, and we're not talking about deodorant. I'm sure that is important. If you're not, highly recommend it. We are talking about some things that will, if you don't use them, like deodorant, you won't have any success. And so on my side, the way I see this, there's like three big ones, four big ones. And that's, the first one is around encrypting your domain. All right, so if your website is, there's a whole swath of reasons why you want to make sure that your domain is encrypted. And by encrypted, I mean, when you visit it, you go to like yourdomain.com, it should say https.yourdomain.com by default. It can be www in there. If you're not doing that, this is like deal breaker for not just email deliverability, but also for SEO and all that stuff that I know this much about. So don't take my advice on the benefits for SEO or any of those other purposes. But I will tell you that if you're sending emails from a domain that is not encrypted, doesn't have that HTTPS, then it's not going to go very well. And same with kind of the big three for email deliverability. These ones sound really complicated. They're actually super easy. The first, and I'll admit, the first couple times I had to do them, I was like, what in the heck am I doing? At the end of the day, it's a text box and some lines of text, and you literally just have to copy and paste. And I know it has to do with your DNS settings, and so it kind of gets a little bit scary if you're not super technical, but trust me, it's very easy. Google, Office 365, other providers have great explanations. But without further ado, basically what I'm talking about are SPF, DMARC, and DKIM. And these are three acronyms that basically mean if you don't have these set up, you are not going to be delivering emails, right? And we can do a bunch of tests. Lavinia is going to go into the details, and we didn't really test these three because we've been testing them throughout the development of Predictable Revenue, and we've seen them be super impactful to the point where we didn't want to go and waste a bunch of time in domains going through things that we've already basically, that I think most companies have established. And so basically SPF came out, I won't go into the details, but basically SPF and DKIM roughly do the same thing. They're just there to validate that the person sending this email is from this domain, right? And so they're just a complicated way of saying, I am from predictablerevenue.com and this email server is authorized to send email on our behalf. That's the sort of non-technical way of describing it. And I probably couldn't do it justice, the technical way. With DKIM, it basically tells you, it's sort of like a public directory in your DNS settings for who can send emails. And if SPF and DMARC if SPF and DKIM aren't set up, what happens, right? And so there's some very easy things, but it's basically like the SPF and DKIM are the most important, and DMARC is the sort of third most important because it just says, basically, if somebody doesn't have SPF, if somebody doesn't have DKIM, what do we do? So those are encryption. Don't let me forget about that one. That I'm aware of, and again, we didn't do any tests, but I know Lavinia's got a couple that have been really important to us.
Yeah, definitely. So with all of these, we've used them as a standard base for all our deliverability experiments, because as Colin was saying, we pretty surefire know that it's going to improve our deliverability. So is it just a bit more of an insight into how we set up our domains when we've been doing all the experiments we've been talking about during this theme? So a couple of other areas that we focused on to make sure that we really give ourselves the best chance possible is email warm-up. So this is just a case of once you set up a domain and create those emails, don't start sending campaigns from it straight away, even if you're only sending 5 emails a day. Get someone to go in there, send some emails back and forth, get a bit of that reputation score up, email back and forth, maybe to each other, to other emails, and really just get something in there to, as the name suggests, warm up the domain.
This sounds like a lot of work. Can I automate this in some way?
I believe so, yes.
Because you can, in fact. And you can actually, you know, there's some scripts out there and that we've seen. We actually built a couple of our own, but really don't, is the moral of the story.
I think that's the, you can try and take a shortcut here, but the warm up is to stop people realizing that you're trying to take a shortcut with automating campaigns, really.
Exactly.
I think it's the spending that time doing it is going to really make a difference, because if there's any mistake in those scripts, if you're not leaving enough gap in between, if the language and the conversation isn't natural, if there's too many repetitions, it's going to ruin that time spent warming up the domain.
And I think it's just one, it's another one of those hacks that is trying to outsmart Google, right? When you're warming up a domain, you're trying to show Google, hey, we're real people, we're sending things back and forth. We know that, you know, most of the domains and most of the accounts that get created under Google, and I've heard, I don't have any validation on this source, but I've heard upwards of 95% of the free of the new accounts that get created on the Google platform are actually for the purposes of spam. And so if you look at it from that lens, they're just trying to say, okay, they're just trying to see who are real people and who are using this for abusive purposes, right? And when you're, you know, a sales development team and you're saying, hey, I don't want to potentially risk compromising our parent company's main domain by sending some prospecting emails, this is one of those things that you want to really pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. And there's one last action we took with all of the emails we sent, all the campaigns we set up, and that was to use a tool just to check that list of contacts, because there are lots of spam traps out there. There are lots of invalid emails, and just from individuals who have left companies, you don't want to be getting a high volume of bounce notices, because that's going to flag you in a negative light. And definitely you don't want to fall into any spam traps, which will be out there. So there are loads of tools online, and it can take 5 minutes to check a list, and it will pull out all the emails that I think may give you trouble. So just make sure you keep with the best chance of having real emails to real people, which is what you want to be doing anyway.
100%. I think if I look back at the metrics, because we look at our deliverability, the numbers, number of emails, the positive reply rate, the meeting booking rate across the board, I remember two significant dips in our company lifetime. And the first one happened when they brought out SPF and DKIM. And those came out in short succession from each other. Maybe they were 6 or 9 months, and they were combined two fairly sizable dips. And so if you're not doing that, that's going to be, especially on a new domain, it's going to be not good. Even if you have an existing domain, it's going to be not good. The second one came when I think something in the Google spam algorithm changed, and they really started moving forward with looking at engagement, right? And so we saw the first dip was when SPF became a thing. The second dip was when they moved to this more engagement model. And the engagement model is, are they answering? Are they forwarding? Are they opening? And it's not just the, are they doing this, but it's the percentage. It's the percentage that, of emails that you're sending that are bouncing. These are all like hygiene factors that won't improve your response rates, but it will reduce the things that are lowering your response rate. So it'll improve it in a certain way, but it's not like you can hygiene your way to like a 30% response rate. It'll get you back up to what it should be. So if it should be a 5 or a 10% response rate and you're not doing some of these things, it'll drop you down to like below 1%. And so these are some very easy things that you can do. It's about list quality. And no matter, even if you're buying, if you're sitting there saying, hey, well, I buy my list from this provider or that provider, trust me, we've bought data from them as well. I still recommend running them through these tools, Fresh Address, 250 okay. There's a bunch, and if you're curious, drop a comment there and our social media team will track us down. Email list verify, there's a bunch that do just like, is the email good or not? And I think that's the first step, right? Is this email active? That's a really important one, because you don't want to be sending to dead emails. But I think the most important one, and the reason why we've used Fresh Address so much, is because they maintain some sort of database of dead emails that are potential spam traps or honeypots. And if you hit one of those, it's not very good for your domain reputation or your deliverability. So you want to make sure that you're filtering out as many of those as you possibly can, so that you're not doing these things that can take your 10% response rate and drop it down to a sub 1%. What have we missed? Anything else?
Definitely. That's it. That's all the hygiene factors and the warm elements we use for all our domains, as standard practice, as well as for all our experiments. So if you do want to go and replicate some of our experiments, if you have ideas for your own, these are all good base levels to start with for the new domains that you use.
Awesome. Yeah, and we, like I said, we didn't do more tests for these ones because we've tested them out over time and we've seen massive drop-offs. When SPF came in, I want to say our results dropped by like 60%. And when they changed to the engagement model, I want to say it dropped again. And again, when I say it dropped, I mean it dropped temporarily and then it rebounded and then it dropped again and it rebounded. So these are some things that we know you want to pay attention to. But really, I'd say if there's three takeaways from this whole video, it's SPF, DKIM, and removing the dead bounced email addresses and honeypots. And then if I added two more, it'd be sort of on the encryption side and DMARC. So those are the kind of the top five. They're super easy to do. They don't take any extra time. And they just show that you're, it's one of those things that just prevent you from harming yourself. So we've got another, this I think wraps up our email deliverability.
It does, yep.
Yeah, section here. So we've got our next one focusing on not just, so we've kind of, in this section, we've covered a lot of the hygiene factors that go in and can nuke your deliverability. What we're gonna look at next is how do we increase that? How do we take you from a 5 to a 10 or a 10 to a 20% response rate? And that's really what the next section is gonna be. So if you wanna learn more about that, subscribe button here or here. There's also a bell icon somewhere and we need you to hit that. Or if you want to get a notification when we launch our next video, hit that little button and we'll make sure it shows up in your feed. All right. Thanks everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
For now.
For now. For now.